Hello and welcome to another Cage Club Revisited. I think this is the 14th one we're doing. By now we know how we're releasing that, which is in the order that we record them.
Yes.
Today's movie is G-Force. We are watching the DVD. This is the Disney film from about 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And
by order, there's no order to any of this.
Oh, no, it's just like, what we want to watch.
We're watching them whenever and whatever.
We're watching G-Force because we have a guest today. We have, you may know her. What Cage Club episodes were you on?
I was never on Cage Club.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yep. Wow.
Keanu,
you may know her
only
from her Bill and Ted episodes. You may know her from her Wistful Thinking podcast. You may know her from upcoming, actually, it might have been out by now. I don't remember when you're on. Watch the Throne episodes. Kara Gail O'Regan. Hello, Kara.
Hello.
So this is a movie you signed up for months and months ago when we put out the feelers for Cage Club Revisited. You signed up for basically all the animated movies.
Yeah. I like cartoons. I have seen this one before, but I saw it when I was dealing with a back injury and on a lot of painkillers.
Well,
so I'm interested to see it again.
It is his best animated film.
It's only partially animated, too. It's like a Roger Rabbit thing, yeah, where it's like humans,
really?
And
yeah,
CGI.
Oh, I don't even remember the human,
yeah,
parts.
Yeah, there's real people in this, too. Zach Galifianakis is in this, right? Yeah.
Isn't Shia in this one, too?
No.
No?
Shia and Cage never crossed over.
Not, no.
Shia and Keanu crossed over in Constantine, but never with Cage.
Didn't they do it twice? And iRobot. Oh, no, that was Will Smith. I always get Will Smith and Keanu confused.
They're basically the same.
No, but they were the same guy.
It's when we were doing all of his movies that there were just like these two extremely similar roles.
Yep.
That were very small.
So why don't we start? We can just talk about nonsense while we go. And one thing, Kara, this is going to stay in because we edit nothing out.
Okay.
You can mute the mic, but just leave it going, and I'll edit out coughs after the fact.
Okay.
Because we had an incident. You can play this, Mike.
Okay,
I'm
going to hit play now.
We had an incident where Mike
very early on
muted his mic and then shared some intimate family gossip.
Oh, no.
And it was all muted, and you could kind of sort of hear it through my microphone.
Oh, no.
So we are just now going with...
Joey seems to think it's like this fucking deep family secret or something, but in reality, it's not.
It wasn't that
big
a
deal.
I just like to hype it up because.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, we went back to the main menu.
Oh, what is going on here? Hold on.
Did we watch
this?
This
is actually the movie. Did you not know this is the movie?
Oh, play.
It's actually just a DVD menu. The whole.
It literally hit play. It went to the Disney logo and then back to the menu.
It's a broken Disney feature. All
right. This doesn't look right either. Hold on. Let me go. We're going to scene selection. Opening credits.
Cool.
And
go.
Enter.
This is, Kara, by far the most we've ever recorded on one of these before the movie started. Here we go. This is right. Okay, so we also have Cage Club movie bingo cards, each of us. You can download these for yourself at any of the Cage Club Revisited posts on cageclub.me. Email us, mailbag@cageclub.me. Let me know if you're watching or listening or playing. I know people are downloading the bingo card, but no one has told us they're listening to this.
They're lining their bird cages with it. Like, what are you doing?
I don't know. I do not know. What is going to be strange
Bruckheimer
about...
Oh, look, they've altered the Bruckheimer logo with one of the gerbils.
Love it. Love it.
I think they're guinea pigs?
Guinea pigs.
Guinea pigs.
Yeah.
So you remember that from your drug-induced stupor. What's weird about the bingo is that I feel like these were made for live-action Cage movies. Cage plays a mole in this movie. I do not think any of us are going to win.
And we have been adding stuff along the way, too, to these. So these are the updated cards, I believe. But they've always been playing with the most current version, right?
Yes.
I think it's interesting you have a woman as attacked in the top left-hand corner.
It's all random. It's random. It's random.
Yeah, mine and yours and his don't have
Oh, they're totally different.
Yeah, it's like
different.
Real bingo.
Oh, right.
We've got so many
right,
categories.
That's how bingo works.
That's how bingo
yes
works. It's not an all-or-nothing situation, Kara. But yeah, I mean, I think I'm going to get, like, dramatic tonal shift because this is a very serious scene that's in an animated kids movie.
Mm. With Zach Galifianakis, who I don't remember being in this either.
Who's gone on to a pretty good career and stuff.
Was this before or after The Hangover, the first Hangover? What year is this from? 05? 06?
Oh,
08?
This has got to be around the time of The Hangover explosion. No, you're the one with the like spreadsheets and data and everything laid out.
Hey man,
in front
we're
of
using
you
my computer to
that's
record
true, to
this.
Record, yeah.
Let me see here.
And for some reason, I've noticed this with multiple DVD boxes. It's almost nearly impossible to find the year on the back of one of these.
Oh
things,
yeah, no, nothing's ever easy.
Or the time, the length of a film.
88 minutes. Just like the Al Pacino movie.
which is not 88 minutes long.
It's much longer than that. G-Force is from 2009, so this is well after the first Hangover movie, okay. Isn't it?
Yeah. Not well after, but around that time.
Hangover 1 was 2009.
There you go. Same year.
A lot of these commentaries are just me IMDb-ing.
Oh, yeah, no, that's...
So this gerbil is Sam Rockwell. I forget if he dances in guinea pig form.
I think the problem you're running into is that they're both G's.
Yeah.
I always have that
unlike
problem.
Unlike the G.
Unlike what?
The G from Army of One.
Yes. The G has landed.
So adaptation, this is not an adaptation. So there's certain things that, like, either the movie as a whole are going to be one or not. Adaptation, this is not.
This
right?
will most likely play better as reverse bingo. Like, Cage will not be shirtless. Although, does it count if...
Well, he's not wearing a shirt, technically. Someone returns from another Cage film. I'm going to cross that off because we have Sam Rockwell back.
That's right, from the Matchstick Men.
Correct.
Which he did dance in.
Which we have already done for this very podcast, for this Revisited. We watched that with Zach.
That's right.
Wait, which one is that?
Oh, no, what? Someone returns from... You might not have it, because we
do.
Have...
I do.
Oh, look at you.
Are we going with shirtless on this?
Well, we haven't seen him yet, but yeah. Can I? If you guys are going shirtless, I'm going with nudity, too, then.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I think we got to follow...
I don't know.
There he is.
The speckles.
Because he's not naked, because he's got the glasses, but
and
he's
fur.
Shirtless.
But yeah. Other animals, it doesn't say cage nudity, it just says nudity in general. We've had naked...
Oh, that's true.
Naked, but
mine just says dancing, but I always just assumed it should be cage dancing, but I guess it could be any kind of dancing. Or cage dancing in a cage.
Ooh.
I love how seriously they take this opening sequence. Like, it plays almost like True Lies in a lot
it
of
ways.
It
does play like True Lies.
And, like, the joke isn't what they're necessarily saying, it's that they're little tiny animals acting like spies.
So he's a mole?
He's a mole.
Okay,
yeah.
And he's wearing those glasses that make his eyes look crazy. So, crazy eyes.
Oh.
Crazy eyes would count.
Yeah.
I do. So, bad accent is on mine. I'm not going to give it to myself because I love his accent in this
Plus,
movie.
Plus, this is more of a voice that he does. He has whipped this out 3 times.
This is a Charlie Baudel.
It's
a Speckles.
Speckles, and then it's Gary.
As the G
from
Army of One.
So, like, yeah, it's not per se an accent like he would do in Captain Corelli's Mandolin. Oh, she is, by the way, in case you can't tell, the female character.
I could tell. She just emerged from the water and had, like, a sexy shaking the water off.
Dude, that
in
was
slow
like
motion
a total
thing.
Bond girl.
But she's a guinea pig.
She's a guinea pig.
Fast Times.
Yeah.
Going way back. Are we doing Fast Times or we decide we're not doing Fast Times?
I don't think we're
going
to do Fast Times. I mean,
I want to see Fast Times again, though.
Is he actually in that?
He's in.
He has a line.
15 seconds.
Okay. He's got about 3 shots.
Big cruising vessel.
And then there's a really clear shot of his face flipping burgers at one point.
Yep. He was supposed to be the Judge Reinhold role, except he was only 17 and they couldn't shoot him. They couldn't have him on set as much as they needed, so they gave him instead of Brad. He's just Brad's bud.
Last time I saw Fast Times, I googled
Judge Reinhold?
Yes.
Judge.
And it happened to be at the exact moment that somebody had, like, edited his Wikipedia article to say that he was dead.
Oh,
and I was
no.
like, oh my god! And it turns out he was not.
I think he was dating the director of that movie at the time, too. So, like, he was able to just fall right into that role.
Who directed that?
It was...
Oh, what's her name?
Not Amy Heckerling. Oh, here we go, looking stuff up for the half the movie again.
What did Amy Heckerling do, right? Did she do Valley Girl?
Clueless.
Oh.
My favorite movie of all time.
Wait, who did Valley Girl first?
I don't know. She might have also done that. It's either that or Penelope Spheeris.
Martha Coolidge did Valley Girl.
There we go.
Oh, okay.
Fast Times was directed by Amy Heckerling.
Yeah. Hmm.
So you were wrong. You said it's not her.
I did say it's not
Go
her.
Go with your gut, Mike.
Hmm. Bill Nighy showed up in everything in America after the year 2000 for some reason. Like, he just came out of nowhere, but he had been around for years and suddenly had like a whole new career as just like a character actor in America.
That's Penelope Cruz, right?
Oh.
I think. I want to say it's Penelope Cruz.
Bill Nighy from the Underworld series plays the one of the main vampire dudes.
I don't know how Underworld and Ultraviolet are not the same movie.
Well, Underworld is basically a previous build of the Matrix, where everyone's either a werewolf, a vampire, or a ghost, and they can do exactly the same shit, and they jump around like Neo, and it's all just takes place at night, and the second one's not too bad. We'll get to the third one day.
So I think the two main guinea pigs are Will Arnett and Penelope Cruz.
Will Arnett? I thought that was Sam Rockwell.
He's also in this, I think.
Sam Rockwell, is he?
I
thought Sam Rockwell was the voice.
Did I mistakenly... Oh, no, Sam Rockwell is Darwin. Okay. Oh, wait, no, maybe...
Are you looking at Lego Batman?
No, I'm not looking at Lego Batman.
Just joking.
Because Will Arnett and Zach Galifianakis are both in that, too. Is this a prequel? Is this a prequel to Lego Batman?
Possibly. That Zach as the Joker, though, is so great. That's like my favorite Joker.
Is that... That's a bad accent. He's trying to impersonate... I'm giving myself credit for that. He's trying
to... Oh, it's Tracy Morgan.
Yeah.
No wonder he's putting out a horrible accent. He
pre-Walmart lawsuit.
Oh, man.
I'm glad he's back now, though.
Yeah, I'm glad that he is...
Getting women pregnant. So,
how are we going to tell if there's subtitles in this movie if we have the subtitles on?
I think it'll be a different font.
Subtitles are generally in white.
I'm also guessing for a kids' movie, there's probably not going to be subtitles.
I'm also going to go out on a limb and say this is an extremely long opening sequence, and it doesn't seem like very much has happened yet. It's like everyone's been getting into position for 10 minutes.
Well, they're very little. It takes a long time for them to get into position. Think about it, Mike. They're only 4 inches tall. They're 3 apples tall. It's a real Smurf sitch.
It really is what we call a Smurf sitch.
I love Cage as a computer hacker. He's never been a computer hacker or anything else, has he?
No, but he should have been. He definitely should have played like, you know, like a Jeff Goldblum-esque type scientist.
Are you saying that because there's a fly on screen right now?
Oh my gosh. Coincidence?
Is it? Or
what's
is it
so good about coincidence?
Wait, what's the line from The Matrix? Where he's like, where he's talking to Morpheus and he's like, you know, is it divinity or is it...
Providence.
Providence.
Yes.
So it wasn't a coincidence, it was providence.
Those two actors, the same age.
Who?
Neo and Morpheus.
Really?
Didn't we? Yeah, I think we came across that in The Matrix and we were like, what? Like, Neo looks 10, 15 years younger than Lawrence Fishburne.
Lawrence Fishburne now in the movie Last Flag Flying, which I will not be seeing, I don't think. Which, by the time you hear this, this is coming out in, like, early February. So,
happy
Super Bowl week.
And also the Olympics.
And,
we'll be doing our very special episodes of Wistful Thinking about figure skating movies.
Ooh, yeah. Very cool.
Kara and I were going to do a whole podcast.
About the Olympics?
We can do that.
No, about figure skating movies specifically.
We can do that specifically, too.
Yeah.
Because Kara and I both... You work from home, right?
Yeah.
Kara and I both work from home, and so Kara and I didn't really talk... Like, we talked in college, and then we just sort of didn't talk for a while. And then we both, 4 years ago, found out that we were both watching 12 hours of the Olympics per day, and then suddenly talked all the time about the Olympics, and specifically figure skating, and specifically... Tara Lipinski and Johnny Weir, the commentators, who are delightful.
They are. That was, I think, their first like appearance as commentators.
2014, and so we were going to do a podcast called Weir with Weir, and it was going to be us doing figure skating movie podcasts with the ultimate goal of getting him to be a guest on one.
Because he and Tara do have a podcast, and I have this theory that, like, if somebody has a podcast, it makes them at least 60% more likely to do your podcast.
Right. I like that theory.
Mm-hmm. And then Kara and I were like, wait, we're way too busy to do another podcast. We're just going to do 2 crossover episodes of this non-existent podcast on the already existing Wistful Thinking. So all of February will be... 2 figure skating. Which ones are we doing?
We're doing The Cutting Edge.
Yes.
Classic. I will be watching all of The Cutting Edges. I think there's like 4 or 5 of them.
Whoa.
And they're all great. Johnny Weir is in one of them.
Oh.
Like just briefly during the Torino Olympics.
Okay.
And what was the other one? Oh, I think it's called...
Wait, is The Cutting Edge, is that Michelle Trachtenberg?
Yeah. Wait, no. Cutting Edge is other people. But Michelle Trachtenberg is in the other movie that we're going to watch. I think it's called Ice Princess.
Ice Princess.
Yeah, where she uses the power of physics and figure skating to overcome class inequalities.
Like I said on the pilot episode of Wistful Thinking, my first celebrity crush, Michelle Trachtenberg and Harriet the Spy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are you going to... You won't be covering the Mighty Duck films, right? Those don't count quite as well as...
Were we going to do
No, they did not make it onto the spreadsheet, but...
What was on the spreadsheet was I, Tonya, I think.
Oh, that should be.
God, I can't wait to see that.
What about Youngbloods? Oh, that's hockey. Never mind.
Like, Miracle... Was Miracle on our list? No, just all figure skating.
Yeah,
it wasn't
just figure skating.
I mean, but, like... Theoretically.
The scary thing is there's enough films to...
Oh, no, Kara did deep research. I don't know how long it took, but, like, we had movies going back from, like, the 30s to today.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There's a rich history of figure skating.
It was very
dating back to... Yeah, I think the first ones were in the 30s.
Maybe what we can do is we'll do one every 2 months for the next 4 years.
Yeah, that
and
works.
And release them all for the 2022 Olympics, assuming we're all still here.
Yeah. And if we run out of figure skating movies, we could move on to hockey and curling and other such winter
ice
sports.
Sport. Yeah.
I mean, what's crazy...
Curling runnings.
Oh, my God. That's one
Did
of the
make
first...
make a curling movie by any chance?
No.
No, they shouldn't.
Not that I'm aware of. They may have, but I don't know.
I don't think... I think I've looked that up relatively recently, and I don't think it existed.
What's crazy about my obsession with the Olympics is that, like, I don't watch sports outside of the Olympics.
Well, that's
generally speaking.
Like, I will watch literally every game of the World Cup, and you could not pay me to watch soccer. Although I did go see a soccer game in England as you're listening to this last
fall. They call
fall.
It football, so I think you were tricked. I thought you were going to see a football game.
But, like, I will not watch any soccer on TV, and then you cannot pull me away from the TV. And, like, the same thing, like, I will not watch, like, figure skating or gymnastics, like, all these, like, trials and everything, but as soon as the Olympics come on, I'm like, yep.
Yeah, man.
I'm down.
I will usually watch figure skating if it's on, but I don't, like, seek it out. But every year they do, like, nationals and Skate America, and there's, like, a few other competitions that I'll watch.
The Olympics are just, like, an event. I mean, I watch them, too. It doesn't even matter what it is. It's just that it's the Olympics, and it's happening, so,
like
I'll watch the most boring shit, like... I don't care. I do floor routines.
And it's also like the only opportunity that you ever get to see
a lot
that much women's sports.
Also that.
Like,
yes.
Specifically, because they don't televise women's sports, like, in general.
But it's also, like, I don't know why I'm able to watch 4 hours of cross-country skiing in a row, but I will. Or the biathlon, where it's cross-country skiing and shooting. Or any of those things where it's just... Because during the day... It's basically unedited footage of a bear, but without the twists and turns of Adult Swim. But they'll show the entire 4 hour race, and then on the 4 hour block at night, they'll condense that down to like 15 or 20 minutes.
Yeah.
But you see the entire thing, which is a lot, but also, you know, cool.
Well,
oh, that's why I was confused.
Because
on IMDb, they credit all the humans first, and then they credit all the guinea pigs.
Well, yeah, okay. I thought the listing was weird.
I'd have thought that Arnett would have been one of the voices. This is back when he was playing humans.
This is back in Arrested Development times. Are we allowed to not like Arrested Development anymore because of Jeffrey Tambor?
No.
Well, he was never my favorite part or the most likable character, I feel. No, we could still like... I think we could still like that show, right?
Okay.
No? Yeah?
I mean... By the time this comes out, there will be dozens more white men who have been accused of sexual harassment in Hollywood.
Like, I mean...
That's a thing of the past. He's probably scot-free by now.
I was like, planning to watch all of Transparent, like, next year.
I think it's worth watching.
Still
watching?
It's
really good.
Well, they took him off the show, though, right? Like, they're going to do another season about
him.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, not just about that character. It's about the whole family. And I don't know.
I am going to watch that. I am not going to watch, which is on my list, House of Cards Season 5. I'm like, nope, I'm good.
Oh, I didn't even watch Season 4. I didn't make
it. I have not seen it at all, because I'm just like, that looks like a stressful show.
Yeah, it's pretty tense.
The first few seasons were good, and it's basically the same thing, like, he becomes president, and then what? It's the same thing like with Veep. But, like, Veep actually sort of figured out, like, what to do. He went from being whip to vice president to president in, like, 2 or 3 years, and then... they're like, oh, he's just going to start killing people.
Can I just draw our attention to how woefully unimpressed any of these other humans are that we have walking, talking, highly intelligent animals doing spy work?
Well, you might have missed it.
We haven't been paying the closest attention.
They had a shot where they were walking through the lab, and a guy was explaining that since the Civil War, animals have been used to gather intelligence, and now they're at this point where they're actually focusing on, like, communications.
Cool. So they're sentient now. It's like the new wave. Look how worried Sparkles. Now we know. We think that we're going to catch on to what he's doing. He's doing nefarious stuff there.
He's an actual mole. He's a bad guy. He's a literal mole and a metaphorical mole, all in one.
I love how they see this though, and they're like, "Yeah, shut this down. Shut all this down. This is doing nothing."
I have Cage in jail on my bingo card. I don't think he goes to that pet store, but if he goes to the pet store, I'm counting that as animal jail.
Well, I want to count magic mysticism because there's talking animals.
I'll count that. I'm going to cross it off, too.
Oh, because you have it.
Hey, man, I'm not going to give you anything if it doesn't benefit me.
Now, is this isn't a Cage voiceover, but he's doing a Cage voiceover.
No, if there's voiceover, that doesn't count.
Okay.
Let's not get greedy here.
I'm just testing the waters. That's all.
I have 3-2 a bingo, except I don't believe there's a Twin Peaks connection.
Well,
except for the whole guinea pig arc in season 2, right? And the billiards or bowling, I don't remember that there's any of that in here.
I have a confession to make. I've never seen Twin Peaks.
Oh. Don't need to start talking backwards. No, I mean, that's fine. You should, maybe. I think you'd enjoy it.
I think,
like, it's your sensibilities are represented in most of it. Especially the new season, I think you get a kick out of it.
Have you seen other David Lynch stuff?
I have, and I don't really like it very much.
Really?
You and Dan Colon can go screw.
Well, at least you didn't flat out say, I hate that shit. Like, he's like,
oh, yeah, Dan Colon's quote after he watched Mulholland Drive is, David Lynch is full of shit. And we're like...
I like
me and Mike both, like, instantly on Twitter were like, we love this movie, shut up.
Like, top five ever.
I like Mulholland Drive. I like Blue Velvet.
Have you seen Lost Highway?
Okay.
Your podcasting partner's favorite David Lynch movie?
Maybe. I don't know.
It's basically Mulholland Drive.
Okay.
But Twin Peaks is a lot of, like, Blue Velvet-y, I feel. Like, they tread the same water.
It just, like his stuff just gives me this, like, very uncomfortable sense of dread that,
good,
like,
that's
I don't need more of that in my life. Especially not at this time in history.
Watch the Lawnmower
Why? Movie. Life in America is so good right now.
What's the Lawnmower movie? I always forget.
The Straight Story.
The Straight Story. You would watch that. It's basically just this guy riding his lawnmower to go see his brother before his brother dies. It's just this old dude on a lawnmower.
It's Nebraska on a lawnmower.
Nothing stressful about it.
Nebraska on a lawnmower. Okay. I liked Nebraska. I saw Eraserhead, like, when I was living in Philadelphia and, like, deeply unhappy about living in Philadelphia, and he actually wrote that when he was also living in Philadelphia, about, like, the sense of dread that that city, like, brought him. And, like, it connected with me in a weird and uncomfortable way.
Love it.
So now they're trying to sneak the animals out of the lab?
Yeah, because they're shutting the program down, I think, so they're just sending them off. And I think this is where they get into the animal store, pet store.
Have they put him in a cage yet?
They put him in a
pneumatic tube thing.
Why? Do we have Cage in a cage? Cage in jail.
Well,
is that Richard Splett?
Oh my gosh, is it?
Is it Sam Richardson or is it not? I don't know if I'm being racist,
because
just didn't get a clear view of him.
No, but he's like a fat dude with glasses and no hair, so, like...
Is it?
No,
he's too old there.
This guy's too old.
It's a Richard Splett-like role.
I love that tube action thing. That totally could have been a ride at Disney.
The G-Force ride?
It's a Disney property. I'm shocked there's no G-Force 2.
Look at our man Cage. Can't even get up over the...
Oh.
He's too little.
He can't see. He doesn't have his glasses.
How tall is he in real life?
Nicolas Cage?
Yeah.
6'2", I want to say?
Okay.
He's pretty tall.
Taller than he is in this movie.
Oh, wait, he's about to be in a cage. I don't do cages.
Oh, Cage in jail.
Came Cage out of jail, Cage's crossing own it off. Voice. I don't do cages.
Someone makes a threat. We've had threats in this, right?
Well, they threaten to shut down the program.
Yep. I just need an airplane and I win. I think when we did this movie, I took a screenshot of I Don't Do Cages because I was like, it's his name. I don't remember which. So another like mini game that we play on this is I try to remember what the screenshot from the movie was that I used as my Facebook cover photo. And I don't, like, the animated ones don't really, they don't stick out to me as much. We probably already saw it. It was probably just him at a computer or something. Speckles.
This is where we get introduced to Jon Favreau, who directed Sam Rockwell in Iron Man 2.
Not to be mistaken for Jon Favreau, Barack Obama's former speechwriter.
No, not the politician guy, no. Which is funny how he has to remind people every month, not that Jon Favreau.
I think there should be a rule that people in politics can't have the same name as people in Hollywood.
Famous people need different names. Michael Keaton knew that because his real name is Michael Douglas, and he knew there was already an established Michael Douglas in Hollywood, and he said, you know what?
Well, that's more of like a Screen Actors Guild thing, right?
No, he could have been Michael Douglas if he wanted to.
I thought maybe it was.
I don't know. But the way he tells it is...
So you just took his name from Buster Keaton?
Oh, that I don't know. That would make the story better.
It's a very weird name to come up with if it's Keaton, not because of Buster Keaton.
Maybe it's part of like a middle name or something.
Or is it from Diane Keaton?
Or his mom's maiden. Some actors take their mother's maiden name. Okay.
Wait, who is this guy? That's a threat also, just in case. Who plays... Oh, that's... Is that Buscemi?
Yeah, that's sounds like Buscemi him. One. That's right. You can tell by the teeth. No. Oh, here comes Favreau.
Oh, no.
Jon Favreau plays Hurley.
Oh, Hurley. My favorite Islander. He's still on that island, running that place. Him and Walt. And Ben.
Walt and Rose, Bernard, and Vincent.
Can you believe that those are the people left running that island? Like... How do they procreate? Like, what is going on that island?
Maybe they're just going to live forever, so they don't actually
I think they have the water life in the temple. They have the water of life.
With Adam and Eve?
Whatever. They could always go to the heart of the island and unplug it again.
I still want to do an episode-by-episode podcast about Lost, but I don't think it's ever going to happen.
All the podcasts will never have time.
Mike and I have a list in our Google Sheet of all of where we track all the episodes that we've done, everything that's coming out, all the different stuff. Basically, how I keep all the same. We have a list of, I don't know, 55 podcasts we want to do.
Yeah,
some of them
are
just clever names.
It's basically like, here's this idea for a podcast. We're never going to do it. I just love the name. It's Daniel Daly Lewis.
Oh, God.
And it's a minute-by-minute breakdown of all those films. So it's just like the Star Wars minute where they do like 5 20-minute episodes a week. We would do 5 20-minute episodes or whatever a week of his films minute-by-minute. So we would spend 9 or 10 months on There Will Be Blood.
Oh, my God, no.
Almost
I saw that in the theater.
Like a movie?
And at like the halfway point, I thought it was over. And I was like, oh, finally. And then the person that I was with turned to me and said, oh, this is about halfway over. Don't you love it so much so far? And I was like, no.
Oh, man.
I need this to be over. I don't like long movies.
I love that movie, but it took me a while to sort of warm up to that. There's so many moments in that movie where it could be the end, you know, and it just like doesn't want it. It's so Lord of the Rings in that way. It just doesn't want to end.
I've also never seen any of the Lord of the Rings movies.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
I make it like 15 minutes into the first one and I'm like, I just can't do it.
I remember seeing the original one in theaters with a buddy of mine going like, let's check out this Lord of shit, whatever this ring thing is. And we're sitting there and it's like, long ago on the bad mountain of doom. And we're looking at each other like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Oh shit, 2 hours of this, but now I freaking love those movies.
Yeah.
And I'm such
a fan.
No,
I'm sure they're great.
Now.
They're just not for me.
I think the second one really turned me around where I was like, wow, this shit is fucking epic. Like, I gotta go back and, like, check this other stuff out.
I have multiple notes in my notes app of podcasts that I'll never have time for, but I keep losing them, so I keep starting a new one, and the list that I started the other day is a podcast where I just go through the Martha Stewart website and read off the names and subheadings of the projects that are on there, because they are some very hilarious and wild
that
shit.
That almost sounds like an ASMR podcast. Just like, because it's not like...
You're right.
It's just me talking about Martha Stewart. Like, would you add commentary or you would just read things off?
I'm not sure.
All right. Do the show
because I think they're ridiculous enough to like just stand on their own, but I could do some commentary too.
So one thing that we're doing for Too Fast, Too Forever is that once our Gosling and Channing Tatum podcasts end, we're going to make that the primary focus. We're going to bump it up from monthly to weekly, essentially. And instead of doing just one Fast and Furious movie every week, we're going to alternate weeks, and in between each movie, we're going to have like 8 or 9 mini podcasts. So we're going to basically have 9 or 10 podcasts in one, so we're going to go through a lot of different stuff on that, which I'm very excited for. Like, we're going to do, like, a Vin Diesel one, we're going to do, like, a one about The Rock, we're going to do one about, like, Michelle Rodriguez.
Oh, I don't like her.
Michelle Rodriguez?
Yeah, I think she's the worst.
I like her and stuff. I mean...
Because I just always want her to be Rosario Dawson instead, and she's not.
I always want her to kind of be more of a badass than she's always portrayed as. Like, yeah. I feel like they
she's
don't...
She's badass in
She's
Resident
very
Evil.
Badass, yes.
Oh,
I
yeah,
agree,
she is good in that.
But she should be in twice as many movies is basically what I'm saying. Like, you know, she should have been in, like, somewhere in Atomic Blonde, Shover in John Wick, something. Like, she, to me, has this image of action star, and they don't utilize her like
that. Yeah. You know who she also reminds me of is Butterfly, is what's-her-face from Death Proof.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She's not in much either.
God, what's her name?
Carla... No, I'm going to say Carla Gigione.
Carla Gugino? Vanessa Ferlito. I pulled out without even looking. It just took me a minute. She's sort of got that, like, tough chick kind of vibe that I feel like it's like... Like, we need a Michelle Rodriguez type for this movie, but they don't cast Michelle Rodriguez. I mean, she's great as Letty, though.
Yeah. But that's, like, her one role, you know? Like, I feel like she should have... She should be charging another franchise or something else. Like, I don't know. I just always expected her to show up more than she does.
Hey, man. We can't all get what we want.
Do we
want
to see who are we going to cast her as in the DC universe? No, I'm just kidding. She would make a good, like, Marvel villain, I'll tell you that. Like,
yeah.
Like a real sort of, like, someone to go up against, like, Captain America or something. You know, like a real without powers kind of person or something.
Niecy Nash is the pet store owner, which is pretty great. Love me some Niecy Nash.
I love that Reno 911.
This movie is especially weird when I'm not really paying attention.
Yeah.
I remember liking it, like, thinking this is better than most of the stuff I go see with my own niece and nephew, like, even that comes out today. And, like, I've had other nieces and nephews that have grown up that at the time I was taking them to see everything from Pixar, but, like, also, like, Gnomeo and Juliet, like, the bottom of the barrel we'd have to scrape every once in a while, right?
Yeah.
And I would have traded anything to take them to see G-Force.
I also feel like it comes at a point in Cage's career where he's doing bad kids movies, he's starting his straight-to-DVD stuff.
I feel like that guy should be James Vanderbeek, but it's not the store clerk. Sorry to interrupt.
But it came at a point where we're just like, oh, we need a good movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and it's sort of the start of that, like, not
he does look like James Vanderbeek,
not character actor subset for Cage, but like sort of fourth or fifth build. You know, that, like,
smaller role, like, sort of buried in the cast a little more.
Well, this was like in kind of a lull for him, right?
This,
like,
was around
before
his
national direct
treasury.
To video.
This is still part of
no,
the Bruckheimer
this was the same
family.
Year. This was the same year as Seeking Justice. No, Seeking Justice was 2011. This is right before.
Yeah, because this is still his Bruckheimer contract. Like, this is, you know, he's still within
after
Disney.
The national, so this is
he
a couple years after
Disney
National
yet.
Treasure
oh, okay.
2.
Yeah,
this is a couple years.
But
after
he still put out
Sorcerer's Apprentice.
I still feel like he's put out stuff on demand as well.
Oh, you know, it's either the movie that's directly before this or directly after this. Is
that's
Bad
right.
Lieutenant, Port of Call, New
yeah.
Orleans.
This was sandwiched in between, like,
that and the
Antwoord,
or that and
something
movies. Else, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, it's a very interesting place in his career, but I mean, this probably took him a couple days in the sound booth. Like, he's not in this a lot, you know what I mean? It's just,
right, as opposed to the Croods, where he's, like, the main voice character actor in that movie. He's probably there for, like, a couple weeks in the booth.
Cruz is great, though.
And there's even behind-the-scenes footage of Cage in the booth going, like, I asked him to take the door off because I wanted to, like, move my arms and act out what I was saying and stuff.
That's a great YouTube video.
Oh, no.
R.I.P. Nicolas Cage. Cage dies. Cage dies. Even though he's not dead.
It's a mole playing possum. I'll tell you what won't be on my list. New Orleans.
Las Vegas.
Awkward sex scene.
Cage drinks alcohol.
Might get a helicopter. I mean, there's definitely been a gift-worthy scene at this point.
Does this mole have a visible tattoo? If not, I'm not checking that one off.
Oh, dramatic tonal shift.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Cross that then. Have we got an over... Okay, so if Cage freaks out, I get Cage freaks out an overreaction, and that... I'm going to win.
Oh, he's certainly freaked out going down that pneumatic tube.
All right, I'm
going to
cross that off. I just need an overreaction then.
Oh, is this where they throw him out by accident or some shit? And then later we see this was all part of his master plan.
Speckles.
I never caught that Canadian flag on the log cabin thing. Was that supposed to be Buscemi's
Canadian flag? Can we talk about how the owner of a pet store or the employee of a pet store just put a mole in a garbage bag and then flung it at a garbage truck? Like, they don't have, like, a better way to dispose
the
of
garbage
pets.
Truck, like, literally...
Probably not.
It backed up to the pet shop, like, any dead pets today? It just threw one in?
I mean, I've worked in retail. Like, I would not be surprised if they just, like, put their dead things in the garbage.
This is pretty cool. I don't remember this cockroach thing.
Oh, right. No, because is it a real cockroach? No, it is a real cockroach.
It's got, like, a micro camera on it. I'm getting Ant-Man vibes from this movie. Like, just the way they play with scale and the tech and the music.
You know what movie doesn't play with scale, even though it should, is Downsizing.
Really?
Yeah.
I would have imagined that's the entire film, is this thing is so different when I'm so much smaller.
No, there's one joke like that, which is probably
in the trailer. In the trailer with the vodka bottle?
Oh, no, there's a vodka bottle,
but
there's also saltines.
Is also in the trailer. Yeah. Oh, and he checks to make sure they didn't shrink his junk too much.
Wait, what are you talking about?
The Matt Damon, Alexander
Payne
movie.
Watching a swarm of cockroaches on the screen got a little distracted.
The upcoming, as we're recording this, but the recently released, as you're listening to this, Alexander Payne film Downsizing, which is about how Matt Damon shrinks himself to live in this, like...
Tiny community of
tiny community.
Yeah.
Matt Damon?
Yeah, like, you shrink down to, like, this big, like, then...
Yeah, you're about the size of a guinea pig.
Yeah, you save a lot of money that way. That's the movie.
Okay.
And, yeah, so
that's the movie. Like, he wants to live a life of leisure, so he shrinks himself down so that his money equals, like, millions of dollars.
Okay, so it's like moving to Burma or something.
But it becomes, like, this sort of environmental thing. Like, it's just... It's not good. I saw it back in October at Fantastic Fest, September at a Fantastic Fest, and
They've cut a new trailer, which makes it look like an entirely different movie. They've spoiled 2 to 3 more plot points.
You know what's amazing, though? I saw a trailer for it when we saw Murder on the Orient Express, and I saw that with Melissa, Cage Club, resident Cage Club artist Melissa. You're the actual artist, but she's the podcast cover artist.
I think she's bowed off of shows for a while. She's like, I'm not doing
anything. Oh, she's going to be on She's the Man for Magic Mike's.
Okay.
Because she saw that movie like 9 times in theaters. Because she worked at a theater at the time and she loved it.
I'm just going to say, there's enough room for more than one of us.
Artists?
Yes.
Yeah, because we also haven't hit you up for any art requests. So that means... Because you're the most prolific in terms of...
Well, like...
Original art.
Getting
work.
Yeah, like, you've been in a gallery. Like, you make physical paintings.
I'm just talking about in terms of her, like, the
media.
Episode art
oh, that
for
too.
Each...
Your episode art for Wistful Thinking is, like, incredible, yeah. I don't know how
Thank
you have
you.
The time to do that each week.
I just half-ass
I don't either.
I just take words out of posters and put them on other things.
Yeah, no, I actually have my notebook right here.
Oh, cool.
But there was a trailer for Downsizing, and the best part of the movie, even though it's way overdone, is the Asian woman that he sort of falls in love with or whatever.
Yeah.
She's great in the movie, but... She's in the new trailer for 2 seconds. I'm like, oh, she's like, what? I was like, yeah, no, that's the best part of the movie.
Yeah, the only one I have in this notebook is the
As Long As We Got,
which was actually, I think, my favorite drawing so far.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
They're all different, but they, like, feel connected as a whole. It was like an installation, you know? Like,
yeah.
They're different, but they feel like they belong together.
Well, the reason that I decided to do them was I had an early art teacher tell me I couldn't draw, like, super fucked up.
What are they doing as an art teacher?
Right? Yeah, so, like, in elementary school, this art teacher, like, wouldn't admit me to the, the gifted and talented art program because she said I couldn't draw. So this year I decided I was finally going to learn to draw, and you have to, like, actually draw to do that, so I figured it was, like, a good exercise to, like, force myself to do something every couple weeks.
You know about Gallery 1988 in L.A.?
Yeah, I do.
Because that's sort of the same kind of vibe that your stuff...
Yeah.
Like that retro, nostalgic...
They had a BoJack Horseman show that looked amazing.
What did I see? I went out there, when I was in L.A. visiting my friend, we went to a Gallery 1988. They had an opening night for something. Maybe it was just, like, stand-up comedians or something. And they had a comedy show to, like, open it, and it was really cool. That's a cool little spot, though.
Mm.
They had what was it? It was Little Orphan Fourville and Andrew Lloyd Webber. Someone made, like, a 4-inch little statue, and I wanted it.
Can I stab you?
It was, like, $300, and I was like, I can't spend $300 on this thing.
No,
and then, like, a couple months later, I was like, I really want it. And I called back, and I'm like, no, somebody bought it. And I was like,
They used to have a location in New York, I think, but that closed, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, they have two in L.A. They have, like, East and West.
That's so weird.
See, Reading the Stars at Night, is that on anyone's...
Yep, that happens in all these Cage movies, as you know. That's a true Cage.
You know when it would happen, which is what I really... I'm still holding on to this. I need to see Cage as a pirate. It doesn't need to be historically accurate, you know. He could think he's a... pirate in modern day. I don't care, but it would be great to see him on a boat trying to read the stars.
You want him as a pirate, you want him in a western, and yep. I want him in a musical.
Oh, that would be great, yeah.
That's the trifecta.
I mostly want him as the ghost pirate in the next Pirate of the Caribbean movie. The western is, like, what I'm going to cling on to till I die. Like, that is... if I could just get him in a western, I would be... I could
is Bruckheimer happy. Involved in pirates or no?
Yeah. Wasn't that all Disney Bruckheimer?
So then why isn't he in it?
Because he's not affiliated with them anymore.
But he was.
Well, that was then. I feel like that was a certain time in his career. Disney's moved on a bit from that type of stuff.
Yeah, and Johnny Depp is also a monster, so there's that.
Right, we may not be getting a next pirate film. Well, we might, but not with Jack Sparrow.
Yeah, just replace him with Cage.
Yeah, that would be great. But they've like introduced Barbossa's daughter, and you've got what's his name is back in the new one, Swashbuckley Joe.
Orlando Bloom.
Orlando Bloom. Yeah, like he's back. Like you got cast to draw from. You don't need Johnny Depp anymore.
Although former Mrs. Johnny Depp, Amber Heard, was the best female character in a Cage movie in Drive Angry.
And I would say one of the best new parts of Justice League was actually seeing her show up. Was like, sweet, she's in this movie. And then, oh, wait, no, she's just in this one scene.
90
Damn
seconds.
It. Because you're like, she's going to be in this movie, obviously, because she's here. And,
Mira.
And no.
Nope.
She just vanishes.
She's gone.
It's like, why wouldn't, if you have two Aquamen, or if you have Aquaman and Aquawoman, why wouldn't you use both of them? Like, that's what I never got.
Like, well, because
she
it's the same reason why
Atlantis?
There's a whole race of Amazonians, they only use Wonder Woman.
I have the same problem. Why didn't they show up in America and be like, we're here to kick some ass?
Because they've got to defend...
They got to defend their own
Thermopylae.
Island.
They all got to keep training on the island. Forever.
Exactly.
Which is the only scene that I've actually seen of that movie so far.
Or Wonder Woman?
Yeah.
It's a good scene, though.
It's
like
a
when
great
you're like,
scene.
You, that's good. Over here. You could use some work. Like... It feels really cool the way that movie's directed. I like it.
Yeah, no, I fully intend to see Wonder Woman. I'm just, like, saving it for the right time.
Well, that's going to be the second episode, I believe, which...
Of Tobin's podcast and his sister?
Which will be out... Hold on. Hold on. I know exactly when it's going to be out. If you're listening to this, and I hope you are, email us, mailbag@cageclub.me. Let us know that you're actually listening to this. So this episode of Cage Club Revisited... will come out on February 1st. So Tobin's podcast starts next Tuesday, the 6th.
Okay.
I believe Wonder Woman will be February 20th. So, soon.
Exciting stuff.
Also exciting, this is a exclusive that will have been announced, I think, by the time this happens. Lindsay Gibb, Nicolas Cage author. She was on a bunch of Cage clubs. She's on Keanu clubs. She's going to watch The Thrones. She's going to have a Winona Ryder podcast.
Ooh, that is also very exciting.
Yeah. I can't wait till they review Great Balls of Fire, because that movie, hashtag problematic.
Is that La Bamba?
No, that's the Jerry Lee Lewis married his 13-year-old cousin, didn't give a shit what anyone had to say about it, and still to this day is still playing rock and roll.
Well, he just died. Or was that Jerry Lewis?
Did he just die? I thought someone posted a picture on Facebook said, I saw the killer live in concert.
Wait, which one did the...
Oh, you're thinking Chuck Berry, maybe?
No.
Okay, he passed.
Jerry Lewis.
Yeah, Jerry Lewis.
Are gonna love him. He did the telethons for...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He was
nice
the one who died.
I'm gonna look through Winona Ryder's filmography.
I just recently watched Welcome Home, Roxy Carmichael, and because that was on a lot as a kid, and I never saw it, but I finally sat down and watched it. I really enjoyed that movie.
What? So when Kyle and Brian came to us and were like, they want to do a Philip Seymour Hoffman episode or a podcast, me and Mike were like, cool, these are the episodes that you have to let us be on, otherwise you can't do it.
Pretty much.
So I want to see what I should do for Winona. I mean. So, obviously, the big ones, I think, Beetlejuice. Everyone's going to want to do Beetlejuice. Everyone's going to want to do Edward Scissorhands.
So good.
I want to call dibs on Heathers.
Mm.
Bram Stoker's Dracula, I don't want to watch again. I don't think.
Oh, I would definitely do that one. I was actually, a little bit bummed that I didn't get it for Keanu Club.
If you only need to focus on Mina, then I could see rewatching that, you know? Like,
it's not terrible.
I love the look of it. I mean, it's wonderful to look at. Oh. I used to watch it with the sound off and just, you know, like, listen to a podcast or something.
A Scanner Darkly, the other Keanu movie.
Mm.
Private Lives of Pippa Lee. Wait, did we know that she was in that was a Keanu trifecta? I don't know if we really...
She was in Black Swan?
Wait, I forgot. As she was Beth amazing McIntyre? In Pippa Lee, but she, like, freaks out at the hospital. That was her, right?
I think so.
She was in the Star Trek movie?
She's Spock's mom.
Was in...
In New Star Trek.
Obviously Stranger Things. People are going to want to do Stranger Things.
Right.
But Show Me a Hero is also really great.
I've never heard of that movie.
It was a David Simon... It's not a movie. It's a TV show. It's an HBO miniseries, Show Me a Hero, that David Simon, who created The Wire, did about the housing crisis in New York in the 80s.
Yeah.
Starring Oscar Isaac.
Yeah, the Oscar Isaac stuff. Okay.
And who played his wife in that?
This is a great chase sequence in this movie. I don't know if this is it or if this is... No, they're still playing with them, but I believe when they escape, it's a really good chase sequence. Not to get back to the movie or anything, guys. I didn't mean to...
Mike, I don't want to jinx anything, but this is our best podcast yet because we are not talking about the movie at all. It's just on in the background. We're playing a little bit of bingo. But yeah. So in 2018, we will have a Winona podcast. We will have The Contenders, which is... highlighting the unruly women of cinema.
Little Women. I love that. That movie is so good.
I tried to watch that instead of read the book in college, and it didn't work out good.
No, I loved the book as a kid.
Two,
No, I love that adaptation. It's so good. I forgot. Like, I always forget it exists, and then I remember, and I'm like, oh my god.
So we will have...
I want to know how much the kid is doing with the remote control and how much the actual... Gerbil's doing behind the wheel here.
Well, as he was driving, he said, this wheel doesn't work, so it's entirely remote control.
Although he did sort of...
Oh, now he's
going to
control it himself.
He did kind of Superman it or whatever. Not super...
Yeah, that's called Superman.
No, Superman's like when you like go up and you have both hands on it and you're like, the thing's up. He just had one hand out. The whole thing was to his right.
Maybe he was doing a General Zod. Or maybe he was doing a Gus Gorman.
Maybe he was doing a Superman 4 where he's just carrying people in space, just like sort of dangling them.
Moonfight.
Oh, mermaids, too.
Oh, I saw that in theaters, Beetlejuice in theaters, and my mom's like, yeah, let's go see this other Winona Ryder movie. It's still a great movie, but it's not, like, for kids.
No, definitely not.
So we'll have a Winona podcast, we will have Tobin's Contenders podcast, we will have Mike's Third Time's a Charm podcast, we'll have Nico and Kevo and, what's her name?
Oh, no.
Tori.
Yeah.
Tori's podcast, the Billy Club podcast, which is about the Daredevil comics. And then Nico's going to have another podcast about comics sometime next year, I believe. Or as you're listening to it this year. But yeah. Do you want a podcast? Email us, mailbag@cageclub.me. Kyle and Brian might start a new one next year.
Yep. Here's the escape sequence. So what I like most about this is when a car crashes into the landscaping truck.
Quick question for you. I'm sorry to interrupt. Is him trying to stomp the knot, is that an overreaction?
I mean, the kid is a bit of a demon kid. He's a little devil child, so
it's an appropriate reaction.
He only overreacts. He's probably
full. Oh, so they're all overreactions.
Oh, I see what you're getting at. This is a backdoor bingo. I would say no.
Damn
it's
it.
Not an overreaction.
All right. Totally fine. But anyway, you were saying about the cars?
What?
You're saying something about
the
cars.
Yes, yeah. There's one moment during a chase sequence I remember remarking on the podcast that I had wanted to see it in a live-action chase forever and had actually, in college, like written it into a screenplay at one point was people being chased down a suburban street and the pursuers crashing into a landscaping truck. Like, going up the ramp and through the truck and getting, like, launched onto a yard. And then it happens in this movie. Like, of all the movies I've seen, like, it was G-Force that it peered its ugly head in.
Now, does that have anything to do with Suburban Nightmare?
No. That is quite a different terrible movie.
We've already done that twice. We did Amos and Andrew, the regular podcast, and we revisited it.
I ever want to watch that movie.
Man, oh man.
Like, just another extra PSA. Don't watch Amos and Andrew.
Still racist.
That is just the worst movie. Just thinking about it, it's got me, like depressed.
One of the movies you signed up for Kara to do was Guarding Tess. Have you seen Guarding Tess?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it is real depressing and real weird.
Talk about tonal shifts, you know, awkward shifts in tone and left and right.
He plays a bodyguard in that one, right?
He plays
the bodyguard to the former first lady, I believe.
Or the first lady or the mother?
Oh, no, the former first vice president. Wasn't it the mother to the president? Yeah, it's
an elderly woman who's related to a former president in some way.
Is that Elton John? Oh, no, you know who that is?
Secret Service for
that's
her.
That's not Elton John. Is that Gus Van Sant? That dad? We got to look in the credits. It's either Elton John or Gus Van Sant.
You mean Elton John, star of Kingsman 2?
Exactly. That's why I thought of it. But then I also saw Gus Van Sant because he did a couple quick cameos at some times. Like, he's in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. He shows up in some of his own movies from here to there. And he's just playing a dad, like, as an extra. It's like, hey, I want to put my kids in a film. And didn't he work with Disney on Rango or something? Maybe that was DreamWorks. I don't know.
No. Rango is the guy who did
that's
Pirates.
DreamWorks. Oh, that is? Then that's
Gore Verbinski. That's not Verbinski? Gus Van Sant.
No, I'm not talking about... I'm just saying Gus Van Sant, that's who I thought I saw in the movie, but...
Oh, no, but okay. I don't know where you got from.
Yippee-ki-yay, coffee maker.
Rango? Okay, well,
this movie only has a 41 on Metacritic, which is... very low.
So, yeah, the major plan is revealed. All those little chips are going to make Household Appliance sentient and pull the Skynet, I guess, and take over.
It's just like Transformers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like Transformers, which is a lot like Terminator.
Well, there's this...
it's basically Superman 3.
There's the line
the
where,
computers are
where
take
Sam
over
Witwicky's
everything.
Mom is yelling about her toaster oven turning into a robot.
Oh, yeah. And then in the first one, doesn't, like, a vending machine turn into a robot?
Probably.
And, like, an Xbox turns into a robot?
Kitten calendar.
Why are you sweating? Because I'm a kid. I'm a child. I sweat.
Mike and I will go to our graves defending those movies when robots are not on screen.
Yeah.
As soon as the robots show up on screen, mm-hmm. we are mentally checked out.
Those movies
out.
Should be called Humans. and be about Shia LaBeouf not getting along with his parents.
Because Megan Fox is really good in the first one. The parents are good in it. He's good in it. His weirdo roommates in the second one are okay. It's just that as soon as the robots show up, you're like, oh, this is all garbage. We came with some real weird realizations during all these movies. I feel like. I'm also still the only person in my fantasy baseball league who will give Kingdom of the Crystal Skull a second chance, and I really like that movie, and people are like, no, it's bad. I'm like, no, it's actually pretty good.
Yeah, I think I mentioned on the podcast how, like, I had not been against, like, I had not passionately, like, campaigned against a movie as hard as I ever had after seeing Crystal Skull, and then seeing it again, I was like, what was wrong with me? Like, I don't know what my problem was. Like, it's perfectly fine.
You got Butt Williams?
Like, it's not to the caliber of the previous ones, but, like, it works.
Yeah.
It's like, what was my problem?
Shia's great in it. Karen Allen's good in it. Harrison Ford's fine.
He's fine, you know.
The nuke the fridge thing isn't terrible.
I like Shia as Mutt. I want a Mutt movie. It's never going to happen.
But Mutt's dead, basically.
They basically confirmed he's been killed off between movies. Like, went on his own adventure.
Zed's dead. I want the young Mutt Williams Chronicles.
Hmm. I'll tell you what, those young indie Chronicles are not that bad. I watch those with my nephew from time to time, too, and, you know, he was like a teenage spy in World War I. Teddy Roosevelt taught him how to shoot his first gun on safari in Africa while his dad was on a book tour.
Cool.
Like, he's global. He was born July 1st, 1899, in Princeton, New Jersey.
Okay.
I'm just saying, there are little tidbits about the character you pick up. You're like, yeah, this works.
You know what we're going to have to do for boyfriend material is, like, the 60 episodes of Young Hercules that Gosling did.
Oh, my God. Young Hercules.
He did a lot of Young Hercules. Face. One of his first things, if not his first thing, he was in... He might have been Young Hercules.
Yeah, I thought he was Young Hercules.
I think he was Young Hercules.
Yeah, he was in Mickey Mouse Club.
Carrie's losing her goddamn
shit. Well, I forgot that Young Hercules was a thing, first of all.
Like on the Disney... If I'm not mistaken, I'm probably mistaken.
All I've seen so far is the box art, and it's him, babyface Gosling, as Hercules.
I thought I've seen footage on, like, a...
Oh, my God.
Tonight Show or something who played it.
Tell me how many episodes he did, please, because I'm not...
He is Young Hercules.
Yeah. How many episodes?
Let's see. 50.
Oh, God.
50.
Were they half an hour or were they an hour? Because we did 20...
If they're around the time of Xena, they're probably like 44 minutes or something.
Because we did like 25 hours for Summerland. If we have to do 50 hours for Young Hercules...
No, they're 30-minute episodes.
Okay.
That's so a little better.
It's the same time commitment as we have.
Ooh, Xena podcast would be great.
Yeah. Lucy Lawless?
Yeah.
That was a cool
show. Were going to do a Xena reboot with her and Gabrielle, like, full-on as lesbians, and then they canceled it, and I'm deeply upset about it.
So, do you want an actual exclusive? We have not talked about this. The next podcast that you and I are officially doing.
Oh, did we? We've officially agreed on this, right?
Yeah. We have not mentioned this. This is an exclusive.
And this has been talked about for a long time.
Mm-hmm. I own all the movies. We are an hour into the G-Force podcast. So if you've listened this far, you deserve it.
And this has been talked about for a long time, like going back to Cage Club Part 1. So,
wait, what are you saying?
Viva Pod Vegas.
We're doing an Elvis podcast.
Okay.
That got pretty much the reaction I was expecting.
Nobody's going to care, except I cannot wait to do it.
There's just something, I can't explain it. Maybe by the end of the podcast, I'll be able to put it
into
words.
I think of it, like, he was a massive star for a reason. Like, there's something there.
He only did, like, 30 movies, too.
Yeah.
But I feel like...
Only.
It's all charisma. Like, I feel like it's going to...
I'm well aware that we're going to watch the same movie 30 times.
Yes.
We're going to watch 10 Hawaii movies where it's just him singing to a different pretty girl similar songs. But what we're going to do... I don't know when this is going to come out. Sometime either later next year, like later 2018 or 2019.
This is later.
It's a later problem. It's after Charlie's.
I'm only half listening to you because I'm still looking at pictures of Ryan Gosling's Young Hercules.
We're going to have people, if you want to... be a guest on Viva Pod Vegas, we're going to just say if you say yes, we're going to just randomly assign you to a movie.
Right.
Because everybody's going to want to do Viva Las Vegas. Everybody's going to want to do Jailhouse Rock. Nobody's going to want to do, like, King Creole or whatever.
Kissing Cousins.
Great name for
Blue
a movie.
Blue Hawaii is a pretty big one, I think. I would guess Blue Hawaii. Let's see here. Cage. Other Ideas Podcast. Okay. Here's a game we can play. Tell me which of these movies you would want to be on. Loving You, Change of Habit, which I hope is about nuns. Charo, It Happened at the World's Fair, Jailhouse Rock, Stay Away Joe, Live a Little, Love a Little, Tickle Me, Fun in Aqualco, G.I. Blues, Girls, Girls, Girls.
Yeah, Blues.
Roustabout, Blue Hawaii, Easy Come, Easy Go, King Creole, Paradise Hawaiian Style, Clam Bake, Flaming Star, Follow That Dream, Frankie and Johnny, Kid Galahad, Love Me Tender, Wild in the Country, Girl Happy, Kissing Cousins, Viva Las Vegas, Elvis on Tour, Harum Scarum, Speedway, The Trouble with Girls, Double Trouble, or Spin Out. I feel like this is going to be one where Mike and I are like, What movie was it? It was the one where he was in Hawaii. It was the
where
one
he was
where
chasing
he was in
a
jail.
Girl or something.
It was the one where he was in New Orleans.
I would definitely do the one about nuns, if it's actually about nuns.
Change of habit?
Yeah. There was another one that stood out to me, but that list was too long for my short-term memory to
change of
retain.
So.
Girls.
Oh, yeah. No, that one, too. It's
oh, my God.
Girl trouble? Like,
change
trouble
of,
with
okay,
girls?
Hold on. So change of habit problems. Is G-rated, 93 minutes, crime drama music.
Oh, no.
An incognito nun tries to help
yes.
a doctor clean up an inner-city ghetto with the pair growing closer
uh-oh.
As time goes on.
Elvis seduces a nun.
Is this the movie where we're in the ghetto? It's gotta be, right?
No, I guess.
Well, maybe.
I mean, maybe. Was that from a movie?
Hold on. You know who the nun is?
Uh-oh.
Mary Tyler Moore.
Oh my God. Yes, I am 100% on board now.
Change of habit.
Amazing.
The best part is that I bought all 32 Elvis movies. I spent $60.
Really?
Wow. New. Like, they're all in these, like, 4-8 movie collections that you can get for, like, $8. So it's just wonderful.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
I was listening to... What was I listening to? Something before I came here, and whoever was speaking was talking about how George W. Bush can actually fart on command. And as a younger man who was sharing an office with somebody, and if he knew that his office mate had, like, guests coming for a meeting or something, he would come in, fart, and leave. Make it seem like the other guy farted.
So he just dropped out the room. That's how you become president.
Yep.
Also, your dad is president first.
Also, that does help. That does help.
Cage isn't driving, right? This isn't... Speckles
no,
isn't...
No, I'm looking for a red sports car.
That's not an airplane. If we get an airplane, no, I win. If we have an overreaction, I win. Although, I feel like, I'm not going to cross it off, but I feel like them chasing these guinea pigs in
a bit of an overreaction.
Is a bit of an overreaction.
But don't you, by overreaction, we kind of mean like...
A freak out?
A freak out of some kind, maybe?
Well, we also have freak out as a separate one.
Oh, now they're separate, and one of them is red. That could be construed as a red sports car.
I don't know. It's more of a sports.
This
ball.
Is kind of reminiscent of the Fast and the Furious, where they have the three
and that
cars
is a chase
and they're trying
sequence?
To steal DVD players.
Oh,
and Letty's like driving underneath the tractor trailer.
Like this is shot really well, like very competent. You know,
that's a game we can play on Viva Pod Vegas. Is based on the title of the movie, guess what the movie's about.
Yeah.
Because I nailed Change of Habit as a nun movie. And it's not just because I saw Novitiate last night, but because habit is just like the best wordplay you could possibly have.
When did they build that into the ball? Oh, here we go, guys. This is what I'm talking about.
It's a really cool stunt. Into the crystal
into,
ship from the Breaking Bad set.
Yeah, into a caravan.
Just meth everywhere. Have you ever done something with your name in the terms of a pun with caravan?
Oh, man.
No, but my fourth grade teacher did call me Caribbean.
Mm.
Caribbean, like as a play on Caribbean.
Have you ever considered finding a man to marry whose name, his last name was either Van or Bean?
No, but now that you mention
for
it,
for no other reason
just
than
comedy
to give
purposes.
Up your last name,
yeah,
give up your middle name, and just be. Hi, my name's Caravan.
That actually Excuse would make me? My life so much easier. So many fewer syllables, no annoying punctuation marks in the last name.
So Caravan would be good. Caribbean mm-hmm. would be like, because nobody knows how to spell Caribbean as it is. You'd be like, well, no, it's not even that anyway. It's
C-A-R-A. But at least Caravan sounds like a normal name, too.
Yeah.
Like, you would come across someone with that name. Like
the name Caravan?
Name. Well, at least the last name Van of some
yeah.
someone. Like,
it's
yeah.
not too...
Caravan of White?
As far as, like,
that's a before and after on Wheel of Fortune. Your celebrity power couple. Your married celebrity power couple name with Vanna White. Caravan of White.
It's like Caribbean or Caribbean. You know, there's two ways to pronounce that. It's not as solid mm-hmm. wordplay.
Yeah, also, like, just with having so many syllables in my name, I would like something that's just, like, short. And...
Also, if you married... It would have to be somebody with the last name, like, Sean Bean, but
where
it would be Carabine.
Where the hell did these fireworks
which is,
come
like,
from?
You know, it has to be somebody whose last name was Bean, but pronounced it Bean.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that the person is a lunatic and you should not marry them. This fictional person. This is wonderful.
I don't remember why there's fireworks going on. Did that just
we
talk?
We haven't really been paying attention.
You're not at home. You're out in the world doing it. Like,
well, that's the whole message. It's like when kids go home after they see this movie, don't try to fly through fireworks.
Outside. Okay.
That guy always has his sunglasses up.
He's got a bit of a Bryan Cranston-y thing going on there at the end.
Now, you just thinking that because I mentioned the crystal ship?
Well, I'm getting lookalikes throughout this whole movie, so I guess I'm just recasting in my brain.
Is it based on hair?
No, it was actually just more based on, like, the look he was given. He kind of had, like, that drop jaw, Walter White, like, you kidding me thing going on in his face.
Chili P. So I found that I cannot distinguish people. I can't tell if somebody's the same person in a different movie if they have a different hairstyle. It's very bad.
I just think that everyone whose name starts with the same letter is the same person. Well, one thing I realized while watching Godless is that Jeff Bridges and Jeff...
Daniels
are two different people.
Yeah.
Whoa. One's forgot the dude. Again.
No, yeah, because when we were talking... Because we did because the night that we were recording Trial and Error, and I was watching Trial and Error, I recorded the PSLF Hoffman bonus thing about the Big Lebowski, and I was like, no, Jeff Daniels, Jeff Bridges, two different people. And I know they're two different people, but I can't remember who is who.
Exactly.
Like, I can't remember which one was in which.
Well, because I was like, hey, wasn't this guy also in True Grit? And then I was like, oh no, that's a different Jeff who looks exactly the same and sounds exactly the same, basically.
And
I mean, once they have beards.
And do the same kind of movies.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's bad. But I was saying to Mike when I saw Murder on the Orient Express, I'm like, I didn't recognize it was Daisy Ridley. He's like, oh yeah, different hair. I was like, oh, it's probably exactly that.
I was like, did she have three buns on the back of her head like Ray? Nope. Then it was Daisy Ridley.
Was she carrying a lightsaber? Nope. All right. I didn't recognize her.
You better hope they don't change her hair in the next Star Wars movie from that three bun thing.
No, I know who she is in that. That's also the downside to me not watching trailers or, like, looking up anything about a movie. It's like, I don't know who's in movies. So I'm like, oh, that person looks familiar. But she didn't even look familiar to me because I've only seen her in
She's only
Force
been
Awakens.
In that. That's all she's ever been in. So.
I don't think I'm going to have any more... What's realistically... Cage eating? I don't think he had any cheese. Airplane?
Helicopter?
Airplane or overreaction will help me win.
I'm sure I missed a couple.
Who microwaves cake?
Yeah, especially a slice of cake like that. Just, like, from a sheer chemistry and physics perspective, microwaving a slice of cake like that would be a nightmare. It would completely damage the integrity, the structural integrity of that slice, and it would just, like, melt, fall apart. It would not be good.
I am with the non-nuking of the cake. Oh, I remember this now. It reforms like a giant robot. Yeah.
Do you think nuke the cake is like nuke the fridge?
Full transformer. Ooh, nuke the cake.
To bring it back.
I'll say this about this third act. It goes there. Like, it goes all out. This is the robo-apocalypse for kids.
Oh, God. When is it going to happen? And can it get here faster?
I think I don't want to be around for that.
I have a lot of technology in my house. Let's not have it be...
I kind of wanted, like, yeah, I either want to be before it or after it. I don't want to be during it, you know? Like, I could understand being raised in a post-apocalyptic society run by evil robots. Okay, because that's all you know.
Right. I'm okay with my kids doing the same thing because they don't know any better. But
going
me.
Through that change, you know what you've lost. And it's just like,
That's true.
Like what we're doing, what we're going through now. You know, with the tyrant and everything.
With the what?
With the what?
What'd you say? With the what and everything?
Oh, with the guy who sits in the house that's painted white.
Oh, the guy who declined Time's Man of the Year honors?
The guy who prefers people who weren't captured.
You know, the guy who would rather be golfing.
I realized yesterday... And this feels like the appropriate place to talk about this.
Sure. An hour and 10 minutes into G-Force.
I don't hate him. I hate people like him.
Yeah.
I hate his guts.
No, but like, I don't like.
I mean, I do hate him, but I also think he's hilarious.
I hate people that like him as well. I don't think he's funny.
If he didn't have control over anything,
yeah,
it would be the most amazing case study. The fact, though, that he has as much power as he has.
It's horrifying.
It's horrifying.
Yeah.
But it's the fact that, like...
Zero redeeming quality.
The fact
quality.
That anybody says, tweets, Time said you're probably going to be Man of the Year, I said probably's not good enough, is amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But
it
the
just,
fact
well,
that people unironically love that
yeah.
is
yeah.
troubling.
That is horrifying.
The thing that's, like, I've really been struggling with in the past year and a half is that, like, all of this is really hilarious, except that it's also...
terrifying.
Horrendously terrifying, yeah. And I am scared for my life at every yeah. moment of the day.
I'm not laughing anymore. I'm at the point where it's not funny. The joke
I'm
is
bothered
over.
By
See, I think I've come around to where it's funny again. It's going to get not funny
no,
again. And be,
I can never go cyclical. Back. I can't go back. I feel like my eyes have been, I feel like Neo. Like I've seen the worst. And
what is amazing, though, about these podcasts is that when we're, you know, I listen to the ones that we did, the Revisited, especially.
Yeah, they're time capsules.
Because we've talked about Ben Affleck so many times.
But they're out of time, it's a thing.
We mm-hmm. talked about yeah. on the... When we were watching It Could Happen to You, which was... We did it like 8 months ago or whatever. And it just came out this week. We were talking... That's where we came up with a recast game. We were like, oh, we'll recast Red Buttons as Louis C.K. And I'm like, oh no.
We're like, what?
Like, we brought it into being. It's really...
Good, so like, whatever...
So in February, when he's no longer our president, we have
yeah,
to resign.
Just saying.
And we just have somebody who wants to...
No.
People.
You don't understand.
No, he'll be gone
That
too.
Is the worst case scenario. Like, you think
no,
it's bad with him in charge?
There'll be a special election for the president.
Mm-mm, that's not gonna happen.
We're looking at Handmaid's Tale country, like, sometime very, very soon. Because
yep.
the as refreshing as it's been to see, you know, men finally be held accountable for their very disgusting actions... the more that this happens, the more terrified I get, because there's going to be a backlash and women are going to have to pay the price. And, you know, like with Mike Pence as close to the presidency as he is and the other complete psychos that are in our government, like I said, I live in fear every moment of
the whole administration will be thrown in jail together.
I hope so.
No, one of the Gawker sites did like 6 months ago, like, how far down the chain of command does it have to go for us to not
right.
be terrified? And it was like
basically a janitor.
23 or 24 people down.
Because yeah.
mm-hmm. like everybody above was like
horrible.
Directly tied. But like some of them were like better than others. It's just
yeah.
like, oh, they take money from big oil or whatever, which is like fine, that's fine. But like it was basically like, and it's not saying that like, you know, if Hillary was president, like her entire cabinet wouldn't be like flawed too. It's just,
but they wouldn't
the
all
reality.
Be like literal evil billionaires.
Exactly. They wouldn't be flaunting.
I mean, have you seen
face.
Steven Mnuchin do anything with his face?
Mm-mm.
Oh my goodness.
Did I tell you that our, I don't even, what's his, Secretary of Defense? What, I don't know. Whatever, Rex Tillerson, whatever his role
Secretary
is.
Secretary of State.
Secretary of State. His son was in my first grade class.
Oh, really?
They moved, because he was the Exxon CEO.
Uh-huh.
And I think in his ascension to Exxon CEO... he moved to New Jersey because there's a couple different offices in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
That because my parents both worked for Exxon, they met at Exxon, so there's one in Clinton where I think Rex Tillerson worked for a while, or at least for a couple years. So they moved up here.
You know, the Clinton Diner, they have a magician come in one evening a week and make balloon animals for people.
Clinton Station Diner?
Yeah.
Train one?
Yeah.
Love it. It has the biggest and smallest hamburgers in the world, or New Jersey or something. but yeah, Rex Tillerson moved to New Jersey, and so his son Tyler was in my first grade class, and I went to his house. I never met the dad, but I went to his house.
Did you get free oil for your car, for your gas?
No, I wish. I didn't have a car. I was six.
Your parents.
But we went to his birthday party. Apparently went over another time that, like, my mom has this memory that, like, they didn't know anybody here, and my mom is, like, the nicest person in the world. And so, like, she, like, helped this woman, like, know where... Because, like, this was, like, pre-internet. Like, know where grocery stores are, and know
yeah.
where this, that, blah, blah, blah. And she told a story about how we went over there, like, they were talking, and, like, I came down, and, like, he has a TV in his bedroom. And now he's, you know, the Secretary of State. It's,
What a time to be alive.
That's horrible that the Exxon CEO is now Secretary of State.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, in the grand scheme of things...
He's
oh, yeah, I mean...
on the bell curve.
It's not like
he's
a pedophile.
And it's also, I mean, it's not... it's not outside the realm of possibility for America's chief foreign policy officer to have been a former CEO of an oil company. Like, given our history of foreign policy, like, that's kind of, you know.
Yeah.
It actually...
Want them to know.
He's actually probably one of the most qualified people for the job. But what's terrifying is that he is dismantling the State Department and getting rid of all of the ambassadors and diplomats and shit. And, like, that's scary.
Hey, man.
Gotta go. Tell your friend. Tell him his dad's gotta resign.
I found him on Facebook. I did not recognize him. I can't imagine he's lived much of a life, though.
This is such a worthwhile conclusion for a children's film. Like, you can't even believe how awesome this looks. And it's got Cage's face on the monitor. Speckles.
There's a giant Transformer robot.
I'm saying this is an overreaction, and I'm going to call myself the winner.
I like
this
plan.
Whatever his plan is, this is an overreaction.
Are you sure? Because, like, the robots are taking over the world.
Well, no, he's in charge of the
robots.
Look,
he's raining down space junk.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
So the robots...
He created the robot uprising.
Him?
There was this...
Yeah,
there
Speckles.
Was this,
Nicolas
there was this,
Cage?
Yeah. Huh. It's his plan.
There was this whole...
That is an overreaction.
The humans came and killed his entire family.
There was this whole thing where there's, like, this mysterious Mr. Yanshu.
Yep.
And then you find out that Speckles is Mr. Yanshu.
Because Yanshu is Chinese for mole, I think, or something. Mm-hmm.
It was mentioned at one point when we were probably talking about Winona Ryder or Elvis or
Fixing
Trump.
America.
I have this one weird part-time job one day a week, and my boss there grew up in Janesville, Wisconsin, which is where Paul Ryan is from, and her mom is his mom's massage therapist.
Ooh. That's weird.
Isn't it?
He just seems like a good guy, though, right? We can all agree.
Nothing wrong with him.
Like, caring, down to earth,
considerate of other people,
good head on his shoulders.
Definitely.
Women, like, they actually
definitely
exist.
Cares about the American people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's not about money at all.
Mm-mm. I mean, he's just a guy who loves to dab.
And Papa Roach. Although that wasn't actually true. I don't know if you saw that. The day... I forget which time it was, because...
Someone said they liked Papa Roach?
Well, it was, like, at one point...
You know that's a lie. No.
Might have been the first or second healthcare bill failure. There's been so many, I can't keep track, really. But there was, like, a fake news story, like, a joke fake news story that he, like, got into his Escalade, and you could hear Papa Roach blaring from inside as he, like, drove off. And Papa Roach actually tweeted, like, "No thanks, man. Like, we don't
Papa
need you."
Papa Roach has to be like,
"Yeah,
I don't want people listening to my music."
Yeah.
Like, are you sure, dude? Like, you gotta get every guy.
Sadly, it was not true. But... No.
It was Kid Rock, not Papa Roach.
Well, that fits in.
I mean, what's so wild is that, like, he, like, self-identifies as a Rage Against the Machine fan, and it's like, really?
Have you ever sat down and read any of those lyrics?
Yeah.
Or if you've even sang along, I think you'd get the gist of what they're about.
Well, what's crazy, he thinks he is raging against the machine.
Right, because he sees it that way.
Mm-hmm.
The machine is the swamp. We gotta drain that swamp. Is the swamp drained? Have we finished that yet?
Yeah, well, they repopulated it with evil billionaires.
Oh, the Legion of Doom set up shop.
It's a much
in the
more
swamp.
Expensive swamp now.
They turned the swamp into, like, Central Park. Yay.
Here comes the downfall of Mr. Yanshu.
Nice.
And his global empire.
Feels climactic. It feels like this has been going on a while. Like,
we've only got, like, 13 minutes left in the movie, including credits.
Not even,
okay.
Really.
I just had to look up a picture of Steven Mnuchin smiling, because this is actually what he looks like. And he talks like that, too, with his teeth, like, clenched, and he looks like the Joker!
Yeah.
He's
that
a literal
evil
billionaire.
That is a total, like, Jack Nicholson Joker look.
Yeah.
Smilex all the way.
Yeah.
Anytime you want to turn your phone away from me, that'd be great.
Love that Joker.
This is, like... What do we think the budget was for this movie? I'm going to say 60.
Oh, no, it's up there. This is around the time where $100 million is nothing for Disney.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think this was?
I'd say 80 to 90. 80 to 100.
Pick a number.
I'm going to say 90.
I don't know how 60. Numbers work, so.
You're like Will Ferrell in The House. Have you seen The House? No. Oh, you need to. He can't. He's like, thinks letters are numbers and vice versa, and at the end it all hinges on him memorizing four numbers.
I said 60.
Yeah.
You said 90.
Yeah.
The answer,
140.
150.
Oh. I turned out to be the closest.
Although, worldwide gross, almost 300 million.
Holy shit. I'm surprised it didn't become a franchise. Well, they made stuffed toys, so I'm sure they sold them at the Disney store.
The most popular review on IMDb, I think, is called "What a Waste of Money and Time."
That's a popular review.
3 out of 10.
I would have said better than most of the crap I take my niece to.
As a parent of 2 children, ages 6 and 8, my family sees a lot of movies. Has been highly anticipating G-Force. After all the hype that was placed on it, what a disappointment!
Whoa, how long ago was that? There was no hype for this.
July 25th, 2009. The funny parts that are shown on the trailers are not funny in the movie. There's a couple of scenes that might merit a chuckle. The use of the word couple is pushing it. Even my kids said that they were very disappointed because it was more of an action movie.
That's disappointing to a kid? 8 years old?
Basically, all the decent parts were in the trailers. Hey, guy,
don't watch trailers.
I usually don't dislike a movie this much, but I dislike this one enough to register here and make a comment about it.
Wow.
Since I use the reviews a lot myself. I'm feeling really gypped right now over this movie.
Holy crap. Take it easy. That's an overreaction.
So here, I'm not going to read any more reviews.
This movie's adorable.
But here, here's the ratings of the top 5 reviews. 3, 5, 3, 7.
Oh, he just mentioned taking a trip to Vegas. Does that count?
Yes, it counts. I can't believe we got Vegas in.
Anybody else win?
No,
I didn't win, but I got to knock something else off.
Not including the free space, Kara, how many have you crossed off? I have 10.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Not bad. Is that Cage works out? Oh, no, Cage isn't working out.
Cage has been arrested.
Oh, he's probably working out in prison, though.
I don't know if we get an extra shot. It would be cool if he had, like, a prison tat and everything.
Ooh, like an 8-ball?
No, not like that 8-ball. That was, like, drawn on with a marker.
You know, Cage Club Bingo was the brainchild of your podcasting partner, Jordan Pullen Clark. She's like, you guys should do bingo. We're like, yeah, maybe. And then we're like, oh, yeah, we should do bingo.
We keep trying to figure out what game to play on the podcast, and we just keep forgetting or just not doing a great job of it.
I've got one segment on my show, Third Time's a Charm, and it's called Book Club. And I read selected passages from the novelization of the movie.
It's kind of amazing.
That sounds great. I love a dramatic reading.
So for every movie anytime that is available for, I'm going to read the novelization and recite some.
I really think you guys should do MASH. MASH is not
No,
that
we definitely
difficult.
Should. It's just I can't do the numbers part.
So let Jordan do it.
Okay.
You have a co-host for a reason.
Yeah, you're right.
Oh, there he is doing his hard labor. I'm removing all the chips from the devices.
I love this.
He wants
voice.
To be part of the team again? That should be Kelsey Grammer. We gotta check the credits for Gus Van Sant.
He's not in the on IMDb.
Okay. Oh, look. That happened to Phil Hartman and Sergeant Bilko.
But this is Will Arnett.
Yeah, it's Will Arnett, but he's still at the South Pole station.
Speaking of Arrested Development. I really thought that the episode that we just put out this week of Revisited was the first bingo one, but I think it's the next one is the first bingo one.
She's got a little earring on.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
She got that when that little girl adopted her.
Oh, which, got makeup on her.
Hair done, nails
which,
done.
Which I'm
going to
mark
did.
Off a woman is attacked because the the guinea pig really seemed to be upset about it. She was getting the nails done and stuff.
I won't fight you on it.
Okay.
Oh, they got badges.
Did they make... Is Surf's Up a franchise?
Oh, yeah. They made a sequel.
That's okay. Starring all wrestlers.
It's a WWE thing.
That's an interesting
but,
direction
but
to
Surf's
go
Up
in.
Was great also.
It's actually like... What
after
my
maybe
favorite
the first 5 minutes,
movies?
I fucking love that movie.
Oh, really no. I was on board from the opening when I'm just like, wait, is this a mockumentary? I was like, oh my God.
Oh no, the mockumentary is like gold. I've yet to see a cartoon mockumentary since. Oh, here's
some dancing. Are we
getting
more Black Eyed Peas?
You gonna get singing and
oh,
dancing?
Oh no,
Flo Rida.
They played this earlier too.
Nelly Furtado. What a blast from the past.
Geetman Jr.
Oh, dancing.
Oh, yeah, screenplay by the Wibberleys.
Who are they?
They're the Wibberleys.
Favreau dancing. Come on, I need some Sam Rockwell dancing.
There is one bingo card that is Elvis or the Beatles, which we obviously did not get here. I kind of want to make it Elvis or the Beatles or the Black Eyed Peas.
Do the Black Eyed Peas show up a lot?
They had a song at this. I think that might be the only time they have a song.
Do you know what's funny? It's weird. It's I'm only thinking of this because we recorded the Superman 3 podcast before, but when they go to the Smallville reunion, Roll Over Beethoven is playing, and it's the Beatles version, and it's a Richard Lester movie, so it's like a little hidden sort of Easter egg in there.
You're not going to like this, but your parents, they're going to love it. Cool. Oh, see? Again, Black Eyed Peas.
I got a feeling.
Oh, God.
So we've got like 6 minutes of credits, I think?
No, it can't be that much.
Yep.
Wow, 6 minutes. It's all those animators.
Keeping Asia employed.
Whoa, how long is that name? Oh, it's two people.
Come on, Mike. We got to get it. There's Niecy Nash. Loudon maybe two Wayne. Shots.
Loudon. Oh, that guy's a comic. He's a...
He's a musician.
Yeah.
There's Rufus, our guy.
Rufus Wainwright's father.
Oh, no. I just remembered. That was the shot I did with the Nicolas Cage and the thing. So that was my Facebook thing. Yep.
Just this week as we're recording this, Loudon Wainwright's episode of Fresh Air with Terry Gross was re-aired.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Because I first heard of him from those Judd Apatow movies. He would squeeze him in at the end and places and stuff. And I was like, who is that guy? Why is he, like, so revered? And then I went and did, like... He was worth a Google. You know? So...
I get it.
Worth a Google is a Zach Galifianakis Joker line. Condiment Man. He's real. He's worth a Google.
There was singing, right? They were just
singing. Yeah, they were singing and dancing.
Were the Cage sings or just singing?
No, singing.
Well, all it says
general.
Is singing.
Singing counts, yeah.
I was one away, and that one was the red sports car.
It's a real shame. Can't all be winners like me.
I could have won with Elvis or the Beatles and awkward sex scene, or billiards or bowling and adaptation.
Yeah, adaptation is one that's either going to happen or not. Like, it's either, and this is not an adaptation.
No, I think, was anything after this, did they come out with, like, a cartoon or anything? Because they had, like, a Croods cartoon, and they're doing Croods 2, you know? So.
I wouldn't be surprised if there was a G-Force 2 straight-to-DVD at some point.
Yeah,
I mean, it seems right for...
I feel like 10 years is the cutoff. Like, if you don't do it within 10 years, like, don't do it.
We still got 2 years.
Oh, yeah, we still got 2 years.
I feel like, though, the G-Force ship has
sailed.
You
got a feeling?
That tonight is going to be a good night.
I think it has.
So anyway, as we're dwindling down the credits, we still have 4 minutes as they creep through.
Oh, I forgot to check, did the cast come up? I'm never going to know if Gus Van Sant was in this movie.
He's not on IMDb, I do not think. You can Google him, it's worth
a
Google.
Looked a lot like him.
Go to cageclub.me. You can find all of our episodes. You can find our bingo cards on there. You can download and play along at home. Email us mailbag@cageclub.me. Let us know if you're listening, if you're watching, if you're playing bingo on your own, if you're, as Mike suggested, littering your birdcage with our bingo cards.
I didn't suggest it. I just said maybe they're doing that instead. I don't say do that.
Who knows?
Use the bingo cards for their true intention.
Go to cageclub.me. Listen to Wistful Thinking. This month is figure skating themed. I will be on 2 episodes to talk about figure skating movies, as we discussed. I think we were on the podcast where we discussed that, right? That was in go there, find Mike's new podcast, listen to The Contenders, which starts next week, which is Tobin's new podcast. Again, future Joey knows more than present Joey, so I don't know what's going on.
And we know less than the past us, too, it seems. So
we know less than that?
Time's all messed up, dude.
It's a flat circle. Wait, we know less now than we did, like, when?
No, the episodes they're listening to now, not the ones we're recording, but the ones out now, no less than we do now.
Once again, it's a pre-taped call-in situation.
Yes.
That's again, another thing that Mr. Show got right.
Yep.
Derek Bro
Hair
Esparza.
And cloth lead. Look at that.
So cageclub.me, facebook.com/cageclub, @cageclubpod on Twitter. You can follow at WistfulPod on Twitter, facebook.com/WistfulPod. Go to those places.
There's the real heroes, the lighting and compositing team.
Once every couple days, I get like 6 Twitter notifications in a row when Kara goes through and retweets a bunch of things that we've tweeted out, which is pretty cool. There's the Hey Arnold movie. Did you guys watch the Hey Arnold movie? It's out on Thanksgiving.
Did it really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'll have to do a...
It was on TV. An emergency ep.
Emergency episode.
A very special app for a different reason. Visual effects by Asylum? Do you think that's the Asylum?
Yeah, most likely. There's only one Asylum effects studio.
And that's the Asylum.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, wait, not Asylum that...
Not the knockoff. Not the Alan Quartermain.
No.
This is a different Asylum.
Yeah, I thought
that's
you meant...
That's what I was asking.
I've seen that name, the
in
Asylum.
In 3, Inc.
Oh, look at that. Because I've seen the Asylum pop up in credits as post-production house.
No. As we're recording this, it is Thanksgiving weekend, and... The Hey Arnold, whatever the subtitle is, came out on Thanksgiving. So,
Hey Arnold, watch out! Like, are there subtitles to his show? I never watched Hey Arnold, so I don't know.
No. Not for the show, but this was like a actual feature.
Oh, there is the video game from Disney. Oh, there was the Nintendo DS game, GeForce.
Incredible,
love it. Go from the movie theater to Toys R Us, pick up the GeForce game. I would not be surprised if there was an after credit scene here.
Well, I'm waiting. And then I'm going to go back into the credits and see if Gus Van Sant's in this damn movie when we turn this off.
No, we are going to keep the podcast rolling, though. We're going to rewind in real time. Let's see here. We still got 20 seconds.
No, we got the Bruckheimer.
Wait, but the Bruckheimer was disrupted at the beginning of the movie. Are we going to get another disruption?
I don't think so.
What a disappointment.
All right, I'm going back.
All right. Mike is rewinding. Why don't you just jump back to the previous chapter? Go back to 20. Yep,
now I'm fast-forwarding.
So, Kara, this is not only the most we recorded before we started the movie, but also the most we recorded after the movie ended. So, what...
Is the rest of the cast even displayed in
this? It is, yeah, okay. Right here.
There it is.
So we're looking for Gus Van Sant, or who's the other one that might
Elton
be?
John.
Elton John. Keep in mind, I did not see who we're looking at.
All right, he's not there.
No. I told you, he's not an IMDb.
Maybe he's uncredited.
If he's uncredited, he wouldn't be in there. Anyway.
I'm going to write him a letter.
Come back.
Dear Gus Van Sant, were you in GeForce?
That's all I want to know about your entire career.
Come back in 2 weeks for the next Caves Club Revisited. Download the bingo card, play along at home. Do your thing. Bye.